Let us turn to the book of Hosea in chapter 14. Let us consider again for a little while in the verses we were considering last Sabbath evening, verses 1 and 2. Hosea chapter 14, verses 1 and 2. O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with you words, and turn to the Lord. Say unto him, take away all iniquity, and receive us graciously. So will we render the calves of our lips. And this evening, I would like to consider particularly the petition, receive us graciously, though I don't want to neglect any part of our text. The call was going out to Israel to return, which meant that they had departed. And that is true of everyone of us, is that we have departed from the Lord our God. I say the Lord our God in relation to us all in a restricted way. In what sense is God our God if we have not returned to him? If we have not taken with us words and turned to him, said to him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. Well, he is still our creator. He is the one who made us. But that still leaves a lot. He is not our redeemer. Christ in particular is not our redeemer. Christ is not our savior. Unless we have returned to him in a believing way, taking with us words and turning to him and saying to him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously, so will we render the calves of our lips. But still, you see, the Lord has authority over us. The Lord is speaking to us. And that's a serious matter. That's something we should consider as requiring our consideration, our really serious consideration. You see, whatever else is true, God, that is the true God, not any false God. No false God can have authority over us, but the true God, the one who made all things, the one who made heaven and earth, the one who made us and is keeping us in existence. He is the one who has authority over us, who has authority to tell us what to do, who has authority to tell us how to behave, who has authority to tell us to worship him. And the true God, the real God, is telling us to worship. But are we? He is telling us to praise him, to give him the glory that is due to him. Now that's an important expression, that there is a glory due to God from us all, from each of us. There is glory due to God. If I can put it like this, that we are to be making God great. Now, of course, we are coming very far short in that. But that's what we are to be seeking to do. In other words, to proclaim God as great. God is great. Can we add to that? Well, of course, the answer is no. And yet, we are to be seeking to make that known. To make that known in our praises in church. And in the way we live. In the way we think, God is worthy to be praised. Now, we are to return to him, having departed from him in Adam. We notice that on Sabbath evening, that we were embraced in the covenant of works, Adam being the head of that covenant before God, and we were negligent. Adam was negligent. And you see, Adam's shortcomings, they reflect on us. We are to consider that we sinned in Adam. There are sins that Adam committed. We are to consider ourselves as guilty. Adam came short. But if Adam had kept to the full degree what was laid upon him to do, then we would be involved in that also. And to take things the other way round, saying we did not keep the commandments of God, then we are to consider ourselves as God considers ourselves, as having come short, as being guilty. We did not personally sin, but we were bound up in that covenant of which Adam was the head. Now, what's the way back? Is there a way back? Well, the answer is yes. There's this encouraging message. Take with you words. Turn unto the Lord and say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. There's a way back. And we are to be saying in particular to the Lord, receive us graciously. That's very much the way that Daniel was thinking. He wasn't coming before God and proclaiming his righteousness. He had no righteousness to proclaim. He was coming short. He was still sinning. Every sin was being marked against him. There was Daniel. How could he come back? Could he come before God and say, I'm keeping thy law perfectly? He couldn't say that unless he really was loving God with all his heart and soul and mind and strength, and his neighbor as himself. And I'm sure he wasn't doing that any more than we are doing that. What a sad condition it is to be in a fallen world, to be a sinner in a fallen world, coming short of the glory that God requires, that we would glorify him by keeping his law perfectly. And we're certainly not doing that. So there's no possibility of presenting our righteousness before God. We haven't got our righteousness. And as we have the righteousness of Christ imputed to us, we haven't got our righteousness. And that's what we're left to confess our unrighteousness, to say, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. To receive us, sinners that we are. That's what we've got to say. We're sinners. I mentioned the publican on Sabbath evening. And he had a good prayer, a very, very good prayer. It was so appropriate. It was so much recognizing God's relationship to him. He was saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I'm a sinner. God is perfect. God has authority over me. But I'm imperfect. I'm sinning. I'm coming short. But there's hope. That's what the man was had in his mind. And that's what we are to have in our minds. There's hope. Even though I'm a sinner, there's hope. Why is there hope? Well, because God is a God of mercy. Because God accepts sinners for the sake of Christ in mercy. For the sake of Christ and what he has done. You see, that's our position. Spite of our being sinners, there's this. God receives sinners in his mercy. You see, you have that in Psalm 25. Good and upright is the Lord. Notice, good. Not just upright, but good. And we're to understand the word good there as you would understand what you say about somebody who is kind to you. That person was good to me. Right? That person was good to me. You mean the person was kind? And especially if you were speaking about God, what you were saying is, there was a display of mercy. And that's what you have when we think of ourselves and our need and our danger of being cast off altogether down to a lost eternity. And yet, well, we might start off with this, there's God's long-suffering to sinners. That's an aspect of his mercy. God is long-suffering. God is showing kindness to me, though I am a sinner. Is that not something to rejoice in? God is not casting me off, though that's what I deserve. But what is more, he is offering me mercy. He is ready to receive me for the sake of Christ. Now we've gone a long way when we've come to this. God is offering me mercy for the sake of Christ. Because of what Christ has done, because Christ took the place of sinners and suffered instead, it's a display of God's readiness to receive sinners. And we should very much be laying hold of that petition. It's so suitable for the needs of sinners. Receive us, or receive me, we can reduce it to that, receive me graciously. Here I am, and I'm a sinner, and I deserve to be condemned eternally. But God is making this known. He is merciful. He is ready, not because any sinner deserves it, but he is ready to receive the sinner. He is making known what Christ has done, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, that Christ Jesus went to Calvary, bearing the sins of many. He suffered instead. You see, there's that aspect to it. Christ died instead. And we are to bear that very much in mind, the word instead. Sinners deserve to die eternally, in a lost eternity. But this is made known in the gospel. Christ died instead, the substitute. Well, we should value the whole idea of substitution. The Son of God, who had taken our nature, becoming the substitute for sinners. That's mercy. That's what sinners don't deserve. That's what sinners don't deserve. Oh, go to the Lord and say, receive me graciously. I can't say, receive me because of what I deserve. That would be false. That would be untrue. I don't deserve anything but the wrath and curse of God forever. But I am to ask, receive me graciously. Receive me in mercy. O Lord, be ready to receive me because of what Christ did in the place of sinners as the substitute. Christ died instead. Yes. Oh, how we should value the whole display of mercy that there is in the Word of God. You see, we might experience the mercy in relation to the justice system, whether the justice system can very readily bring mercy and justice to agree with each other, that may be another matter. But what you have in connection with Christ, whom the Father sent into the world, is this, that truth met with mercy, righteousness and peace kissed mutually. Truth met with mercy. The truth of God speaking in terms of justice, that met with mercy. And justice and mercy were in that way reconciled. The justice of God and the mercy of God, they were reconciled at Calvary. Not that they were ever out of reconciliation, because there was that purpose of God to be merciful, inconsistent, inconsistency with his justice. And that's something we should value. When we think of our own needs as sinners, we should say, I need salvation. And God is offering me salvation. That's a display of God's mercy. And the display of God's mercy is absolutely consistent with justice. Receive us graciously. That's what we're to ask. In relation to Christ, through Christ, and what he has done, that he magnified the law and he made it honorable, that he did all that was necessary for the salvation of sinners. And so Nehemiah was praising God, and he was saying, thou art a God ready to pardon, gracious and merciful. We don't need to say much about the words gracious and merciful as distinct from one another. Fundamentally, they are the same. Fundamentally, they are twins. Yes. We can grasp one word with one hand, as it were, and the other with the other hand. And be thankful, thankful for this, that God is saying to us, use these words in coming before me. Receive us graciously. Receive us in mercy. That's what the Lord is saying. Receive us, telling us to use these words. Receive us in mercy. Now, think of the prodigal son going back home. It was his only hope. His hope was in the mercy of his father, that the Father in mercy would receive him. Now, what do we see in the Father? We see mercy. We see superabounding mercy. The Son is resolved to say, I have sinned against thee, against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. That would be mercy. The son had taken advantage of his father. The son had been so outrageously determined to get his own share of the father's estate long before it was due to him. Could he expect anything more merciful than this, that he would be made a hard servant? He goes home. He comes to the father. He presents his petition before him. How is he dealt with? He gets exceeding abundantly more than he could ask or think. Now, when the sinner goes to God through Christ, however weakly, asking for mercy, takes the words, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously, presenting them in prayer before God for Christ's sake. Does he get an answer? Yes, of course he does. Does he get the answer he expressed in the words that he used? Well, no. What he gets is something far better, far more lavish, if I can use that word. You see, that's the extent of God's mercy. And then, is he looking for some clothing? Will he get some clothing from the Father? He's very likely in rags by now. He's wasted his substance in riotous living. Will he get anything to keep out the cold? Will he get anything to keep the sun off his burnt body? The command is, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, put shoes on his feet. Everything is so much better. And if we can take the spiritual equivalent for these things, perhaps we don't, well, if he asks for clothing, what is he going to get? Is he going to be barely accepted? Is he going to get into the servants' quarters? Oh, it's not that at all. Bring forth the best robe. Bring forth the full imputed righteousness that Christ died to procure. Bring forth the full imputed righteousness that Christ died to procure. It's the best robe that, will we say it, that divine wisdom could devise. And whatever it is you ask, along the lines of our text, receive us graciously. Can he receive us at all? Can he do anything but receive us unwillingly? If it's proper for me at all to make that suggestion, even put it into the mouth of the prodigal son. But, you see, whatever it is that the sinner asks for, it's so much better, so much more perfect. Everything's in it. That's what you have. Come, sinner, then. Come. The Savior is calling you. Can you dare to come back after sinning? Can you dare to come back after all your unbelief? Can you dare to make requests after all your unbelief? Can I? Well, we're told. And you see, that's what we've got to go by. What has the Lord said? What has the Lord said? That we're to say, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. Receive us graciously. Receive us in mercy. And to say it believingly. To say it believing that God will answer the petition that he has put into our mouths. Why did the Lord say through Hosea to Israel these petitions? Did he expect them to be used? Did he expect them to be used with the full meaning that is in the words? Of course he did. Of course he did. And that's what we are to say. Take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. Because the Savior is saying to us, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And then we will render the calves of our lips. We will offer the sacrifices of thanksgiving to God, some more fully, some less so. But will they not all join together in heaven and offer up praise and thanksgiving to God? Let me just bring out a little the words of Hezekiah after he had recovered from his sickness. And he says, the living, they shall praise thee. And that's how it will be in this world. And that's how it will be in heaven. It's those that are spiritually alive. those that are spiritually alive, that will praise God. And we, if we are to praise God in heaven, must be made alive. We must have that living spirit that will pray to God in such terms as these, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. May the Lord bless his word to us.